Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report, 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10. Ro, are you there? Are you having trouble with the headphones? How long have you been in radio? For how many years?
I just bought these new headphones, and they have this thing where they, where the earpieces like turn around,
They flip so they're facing outwards.
Yeah, or they flip around. I don't know, for storing purposes or something. And all of a sudden, I can't figure out how to use them. It's like the simplest thing in the world. It'd be like a carpenter going, "How's this hammer work?"
It looked like you had like a Rubik's cube over there. I'm like, how many different ways do you think you can position them?
I don't know. All right. No longer an issue. I got it all working now.
Good. We're fine now.
All right,
don't worry.
Brad Garrett is with us, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst, formerly with the FBI. And there is new information coming out about Egypt Air 804. They say, Brad, that some of the bodies here that they have recovered, or body parts, to be more accurate, that they have recovered, give them indication that there was an actual explosion on board this plane. How would they know that?
Well, if there's burn marks on the body, they got there two ways, either an actual bomb explosion or the plane exploding itself. Remember TWA 800 mm-hmm. off the coast of Long Island? That ended up not being a bomb. That was a faulty fuel line issue, and the plane exploded. So, you know, there's just not, I realize everybody wants to get to the end of the road here, but there's just not enough information forensically or otherwise to absolutely say for sure that a bomb took this down, or did something go haywire with the computers, which then led to a fire, which then, you know, obviously the plane has a lot of fuel on it. So at some point it could explode. So we don't know yet is the short answer.
Okay. But it does indicate at least there was an explosion. We don't know the cause. Is that the safest way to say it?
I think so. I think it is safe to say that, you know, without further definition. Now, you know, we're almost up to, a week when this occurred. And, you know, no one has jumped out and said, you know, my bad guys planted a bomb. We want credit. So, you know, that doesn't mean it is not terrorism. But usually they get out in front in a few days that they're the bad guys.
There seem to be some, differing stories between different aviation authorities about what the plane did in its final moments. You have the Greek authorities talking about this 90-degree turn and then a 360-degree turnaround. Now you've got it doesn't appear to me as if all of the different countries that might be involved here are yet working together. Are you seeing that also?
And it's also fairly common. I mean, there's a lot of politics that go on in analyzing these high-profile crime scenes or catastrophes. And so you have people with different levels of experience, different agendas as to why they're saying certain things. So, you know, I get all that, but you still really have to wait for some authoritative body to look at these body parts, parts of the plane, residue from the plane, et cetera. To actually just determine, you know, really what do you have here? And, you know, we are not to that juncture.
All right. Well, I got to go back to this issue just brought up about the bad guys not taking responsibility. I mean, I mean, you worked in the FBI for a number of years in counterterrorism. People will take responsibility who are not responsible for it. Well, what?
True.
And why haven't we even heard claims from those people?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a valid question, but I think the bottom line is that I guess none of them have any thought or belief that this was terrorism, I guess. But, you know, why hasn't, I guess, somebody jumped in? Other than if you jump in and then a week from now, all the authorities say it absolutely wasn't a bomb. It was, you know, a faulty plane of some sort. I don't know. I don't think.
Isn't that interesting that they're
answer to that?
They're truth sensitive. I think that's kind of interesting because they want to be seen as credible terrorists,
right?
versus non-credible terrorists. I mean, it's like, it's what kind of world are we living in, Brad Garrett?
Well, I can tell you how many bad guys who've been serial killers or people like that. There is a moral side to them of a right and wrong. You're going like, what planet are you on when you're telling me that? But all I'm suggesting is very bad people can still have their own boundaries as to where they're going to go or not go. And I think you've hit the right nail here in that they want to show credibility to the rest of us that they're really bad.
Yeah.
And yet the cause of this is very important, because if it leads to terrorism and if it leads to a certain airport, say in Egypt or Paris or whoever, somehow someone was able to slip a bomb beyond security or get access to this plane, there are going to be all kinds of new security rules and regulations put in place. There's going to have to be a sweep of who exactly had access. Are those types of things already going on, even in advance of knowing the definitive answer?
As best you can, but think about it this way. I mean, an airport like O'Hare probably has 35, 40,000 plus employees, I think even more.
Yeah.
The idea that baggage handlers can move from United to JetBlue to whatever, and that you're going to have to constantly send them through security or metal detectors, is not realistic. They're going to have to be able to move. So I guess what I'm saying is you really have to focus on who you allow to work at the airport and how often you check their backgrounds. And that is not being done, in my professional view, enough to give me a comfort level that who works there is okay.
Well, you know, you walk around the airport and you sometimes have that thought, right?
You do sometimes, don't you?
you do sometimes. I think, you know, I think there's a certain amount of self-policing that goes on there. I think especially amongst baggage handlers, because there's so many of them. You walk around some of the employees and you're like, you know, they're working in the shops and stuff. And you're like, how'd that guy get back here?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is unsettling. And the Egypt air crash, you know, is one. We are so good, Brad, as you know, especially the NTSB and a couple of the other international agencies and the military and all the rest, that we're so good at being able to diagnose plane crashes and figure out what happened. And even in the most trying of circumstances, like that Egypt Air case or the TWA 800 case, remember how they reconstructed that 747, you know, in a hangar on Long Island? It was amazing how they were able to, they got, you know, 88% or 90% of the plane put back together to try to figure out exactly what happened. But we're seeing, you know, you got the Malaysian one, you know, and they disappear into the ocean, and foreign carriers in parts of the world that are not as well radar controlled. This was, but there's more mystery here, right?
Clearly more mystery. And you've again hit this correctly, when you don't have a consistent body that have the right expertise, the right education, the right experience, et cetera, looking at something, then you get these what I call scatter shots, because that's what you have now. You know, people are jumping and saying it's X, it's Y, you know, with not enough information or with a limited skill set, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating, and you know, and it's particularly poor when you're talking about victims' families.
Yeah, terrible.
Continually hearing this stuff that's, you know, may well not be true.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I mean, it's, I hate to jump on this particular angle of it, but you know, Donald Trump jumping out and going, oh, this is absolute terrorism. He has no idea. You can't, it just sort of points to that notion that you don't want people screaming fire already until you know what you've got, right?
I mean, he's never been burdened by facts in the past. Why would we start now?
That is an excellent point, Brad Garrett. All right, thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Brad.
Appreciate it.
All right, take care, guys.
Goodbye.
Uh-huh. I think when he tweets, he doesn't even really care sometimes.
It's just unbelievable.
Sort of puts it out there.
Oh, you'd have to be stupid not to know this is terrorism. Well, you know, sometimes these things don't add up the way that you think they're going to add up. It still may be. I'm not saying it's not.
Could be, sure.
But there is, no one seems to know, and no one seems to have a handle on it, and it is incredibly curious that no organization is taking credit.
It is. It's troubling in one way, and it's just very interesting in another. I mean, what happened here, and why wouldn't they take credit for it?
Right.
Great question.
Right. I mean, that's exactly. If you did it, maybe they're all looking at each other, thinking the other guy did it, and it turns out maybe nobody.